to me, the best shows are always when you're mixing it up. And whether that's having a conservative and a liberal, or having two conservatives who disagree on an issue or whatever, I don't really care. Everything is more interesting when there's disagreement.
Hi, I'm Anthony Fisher for Reason TV, and we're joined by Andy Levy, the co-host of the Fox News late night talk show Red Eye, a show that has featured many Reason staffers on its panel, including myself, and which recently received high praise in the August pages of The New Yorker as a, quote, odd and often funny late night show that is not exactly satire and not exactly anything else either. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Did The New Yorker nail the mission statement of Red Eye?
Yeah, I don't know that we have ever had an actual mission statement, but that's kind of not bad, actually, because there's times when we're satirical, there's times when we're serious.
The scientist famous for cloning Dolly the sheep says we should bring back the woolly mammoth. We'll take a fair and balanced look at why this could mean impeachment for President Obama straight ahead.
A lot of times it depends on the topic. I think there are some topics that lend themselves more to satire or more to straight comedy. There are other topics where you sort of got to lay down the seriousness before you can even try to satirize it. On a good night, I think we have a really good balance, and I think that's what we sort of strive for.
Red Eye's been described as kind of a right of center version of The Daily Show. Do you think that's accurate?
No, I've never thought that's accurate. I don't think any of us have ever thought that's accurate. We're a panel discussion show. It's a different beast. I think to be any other version of The Daily Show, you'd have to have a host who looks directly into the camera and does his thing, and then maybe brings on guests one-on-one. But you can't compare that to the vibe of a panel show. They're two completely different beasts.
Yeah, so. I think more what some people might be thinking, though, is that it's for a right of center audience, or at least that a right of center audience could appreciate it, and that even people of all political persuasions can get into, you know, the anarchy that is Red Eye, whereas, you know, other comedic shows might be, you know, narrow casting for a liberal audience.
Yeah, I would hope it's true that anyone of any political bent could watch Red Eye and think it's a fun show to watch. Whether that's true or not, I guess you'd have to ask people of all those political bents, but there's definitely a right of center-ishness to it. I'm creating words here left and right. I mean, I'm, you know, pretty libertarian. Greg, back when he was hosting, was libertarian conservative, I guess you would call him. We have liberals on the panel. We have libertarians on the panel who make me look like Stalin. We have Stalinists on the panel that make me look like Ayn Rand. So, you know, I think what you try to do is you try to bring a mix of people together. And my thing has always been, when you have a panel discussion, I want different points of view. Yeah. And to me, it's boring if you have four or five people sitting there who are all saying variations on the same theme. To me, the best shows are always when you're mixing it up. And whether that's having a conservative and a liberal, or having two conservatives who disagree on an issue or whatever, I don't really care. I just like it when, you know, everything is more interesting when there's disagreement.
Welcome to Red Eye. It's like cold case, if by case you mean sores that aren't as contagious as you might think, so I'm sure you'll be fine.
Greg Gutfeld, you just mentioned, you know, the original host who recently had his name in the title of the show, has left the show, but not left Fox. He still co-hosts The Five and has a new weekend show of his own. Are you all lost without him? What was the what was the reaction of the staff when he told you guys he was moving on?
No, I mean, obviously happy for him, proud of him that he's getting to do all this stuff. Without Greg, there was no Red Eye. There was no me ever being on TV. It's not possible for me to overstate how much I owe him, how much the show owes him, because he was the show. It's not going to be the same show, and it can't be the same show, and it shouldn't be the same show, because the show, Greg brought so many unique things to the show that it would be absolutely stupid to continue to do the exact same show with a different host. But hopefully we keep the spirit and that sort of anarchic spirit, but channel it in a different way. And ideally that's what'll happen.
Can you talk a little bit about how you came to be on the show? How did you get to know Greg?
Yeah, he was blogging at the Huffington Post, and I was reading his blog. And I did something that I don't think I've ever done at any other blog. I was leaving comments. And my comments got sort of more and more involved to the point where he kind of noticed them and he emailed me. And I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, he emailed me, he liked one of my comments, whatever, and that's that. And so I emailed him back, and then he emailed me back again. And we started sort of an email relationship. And then it got to the point where he would say, I just posted, go over there and comment. And then a little later it got to, here's what I'm working on, what do you think, you know? And then from there it was, he was starting his own blog, The Daily Gut, and he said to me, he said, I want you to write with me. So we started writing together, and not long after that, I guess Fox approached him about hosting some goofy late night talk show. And he and I had never met at this point. He was living in England because he was the editor of Maxim UK at the time. And he said, I'm flying to New York. I'm going to meet with Fox people. We should get together. And so we got together, had a bunch of drinks. And from there, it just kind of, you know, Fox decided to take a chance on this show with a bunch of guys who had never been on TV before. And it just kind of went from there.
So, wow. So both you leaving comments and him reading the comments, two things that probably you guys would never do now.
No, God no. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about how the show has evolved. You know, obviously Bill Schultz was on the show. He used to work the pinch puppet, the pedantic, sleepy-eyed New York Times correspondent.
Yeah, Pinch, how was that your first acting foray?
Well, excellent use on the correct use of the word foray, Greg. I have to say, according to my writer, I wanted bottled water, perhaps a rubbed out, and an all-white green room. I didn't get any of those.
Now Joanne Nosachinsky's on the show. You were once the ombudsman. It seems like a lot of things that were huge fan favorites, eventually you guys just let them go and never look back. What goes into that process?
A whole bunch of things go into that process. Part of it is we have gotten away from the early goofiness and the full-on sort of anarchic spirit. But part of that is also just we got more professional because we learned how to do our jobs. We didn't know what we were doing when we started, so we did goofy things. And then eventually you learn how to do something the right way, and then you stop doing it the wrong way, and maybe you lose something there. But I think it's also sort of a natural evolution. You can't do the same exact thing for 8 years, for 10 years, for 20 years without there being change. It doesn't work.
Perhaps it's because Red Eye is on at 3 a.m. and perhaps it's because it's on Fox News, but Red Eye doesn't really have to deal with the same kind of pressures about being politically correct that The Daily Show or other shows might. Do you feel that that's liberating as a performer, or would you even agree with that statement?
I'm not sure I would agree with it. Okay, we're not in a spotlight the way The Daily Show is. We're not in a spotlight the way primetime shows on Fox News are either. We're on at 3 a.m. So are there things that we have said that would get pounced on if people noticed them? I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I think we do a pretty good job of, having done this for 8 years or whatever, we do a pretty good job of knowing where the line is for us, and the line is different for everyone. But
have you ever felt like you did a show or there was someone on the show that went too far for your tastes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't happen often, but it definitely happens. You know, sometimes you just say, well, they said it, and, you know, sometimes you can get into it with that. Like, if a person says something, I can jump in, or someone else can jump in and say, hey, you know, I don't agree with that, or whatever. Again, having a panel thing, you almost can let more stuff go because you can, if there's reaction to that stuff, then it becomes a discussion. And to me, that's preferable to just saying, you can't say that. A lot of times I would rather have someone say that and then get into a debate about whether that's a good thing to say or a correct thing to say or whatever. It's always other people that determine whether or not you've crossed the line. I guess maybe we can get away with more stuff because we don't have as many other people as something like The Daily Show does. But because it's up to them, like they would be the ones saying, you know, saying shame on you. Mm-hmm. I can't judge whether we've done anything that's worthy of them saying shame on you.
So you don't apologize for anything?
I apologize for nothing.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Red Eye co-host Andy Levy for Reason TV. I'm Anthony Fisher.